Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
It's a joy to be bringing the word on Mother's Day. What a great day. And I just want to honour you, all the mums in the room. It's a big job. It's wild, has lots of twists and turns. And we have three children, and my eldest is 13. So this is our 14th year of parenting. And it's just getting wilder and better, which is great. And I was reading an article the other day about a mum who did a research on her own family over a few weeks to see how many times her name would be called in a day, how many times mum would be said a day. And she averaged it out to be 234 times a day that the word mum is called. When I was thinking about that, I'm like, that's so true, because when my kids say mum, they don't say it once. You know, they're like, mum, 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 mum. Like, they could say it 20 times in like 2 seconds. So mums, if you think you're going crazy, you are. Yes, you are, because your name is being called over 200 times a day. And we love it. It's a precious name to be called. There's some key milestones in every parent's life that we have to celebrate here today. Now, as I said, I'm only 14 years in, so these are milestones up to 14. I'm sure there's many more that we could celebrate, but these are the ones that I'm aware that feel just so life-changing when they happen. The first moment is when your child sleeps through the night. Anyone? Has anyone just reached that milestone? Any of the mums? No. No, you're all still not sleeping in the night. I'm so sorry. But what a great milestone that is. The second one, which I just found so life-changing, was the moment your child can click themselves into the car. I mean, that is a gift sent from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I loved that moment. What about the moment your child can go to the toilet and wipe their own bottom? Oh, what a joy. What a joy. Anyone in that milestone? Can we celebrate with anyone today? Yes? Oh, thank you, Simone. Well done. That's wonderful news. Aren't your kids like in their 30s? They're still learning. I love it. So good. The moment your children can put their own shoes on. Oh, great milestone. What about this? This is a personal favourite at the moment. The moment your child can vomit into a bowl instead of all over the bed. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is a gift from heaven that day. I'll never forget, like, the bowl's right next to them, but they still seem to vomit all over the whole bed. It's like, why? The bowl is right there. Like, that moment they actually can do that is special. And this is a moment we're currently in at the moment. The moment your child can shower and wash their own hair without your help. That is a joy. I can still cook dinner and tell them to go and shower and wash their hair. And they dry themselves and they put their pajamas on. I mean, you don't understand what a joy that is for a mother. Like, oh, is anyone in that season? Can we celebrate with you right now? Yes, yes. Come on, let's put our hands together for all the mamas. You're amazing. We're celebrating with you. All those great milestones. I'm sure there's more to come. I'm sure the day your child learns to drive is a good milestone. Is it? Yes? Okay. There's mixed thoughts about that in the room. I'm sure it's also highly frightening that your children are on the road. The first time I got my license, the first day I got my license, I drove to school, actually, and my dad followed me the whole way. And he didn't tell me till like 10 years later. He's like, I was so scared. I followed you all the way to school. So I'm a really good driver, by the way, so thanks, Dad. But we love you, mums. And we're going to be talking today about motherhood. And as I share about motherhood today, I do want you to think that this also encompasses parenthood, and it encompasses being a disciple maker. So this is for all of us in the room today. As we look at motherhood, we want to look at how it is more than just one day. It is a calling, and it is more than biological. It is the church's shared responsibility altogether. So I've got three thoughts for you today. The first thought is that motherhood is a calling. Motherhood is more than a sentiment. It is a calling from God to raise up the next generation in His ways. Motherhood is not simply raising children, but raising image bearers who carry faith forward. This dignifies unseen labour, every prayer whispered, every conversation about Jesus, every act of shaping a child's heart in participation of God's redemptive work. You know, it is a calling from the very beginning of time. In Genesis 1, verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on earth.'" So from the very beginning when God created us, it was a mandate and a calling from Him to be fruitful and to multiply the earth. And this does not just talk to biological parents. This is talking to us as a people of God, that we would all together be in this work of making disciples. 2 Timothy 1:5, I love this scripture. It says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lewis, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." How beautiful is that scripture? It's a picture of the generations. And it's talking about Timothy. And it's like, we know, Timothy, that actually your faith didn't start with you. It started from your grandmother. Any grandmothers here today? And then it was passed down to your mother, her faith. And now it's being passed down to Timothy. The generations of faith. And that is what God has called us all to do, to pass our generation of faith down from our grandmothers to our mothers to our children. That is not supposed to stay with us, that we all have a call to make disciples, whether that is biological or whether that is spiritual, that we would pass it down from generation to generation to generation. You know, I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, and my parents brought us up in church and in the ways of God. And I know that's not everyone's story here today. And you may be sitting here today and this is your first time in church. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing about God. And I want to encourage you that you may not have had that journey of generation to generation, but I want to let you know today that God wants to start a new lineage with you and your family. And that today you can have a moment where you encounter God and you receive Him into your life, and you can start a whole new pathway of generation to generation here today. You know, and I had that privilege of growing up in a home that knew God, and I'll never forget the prayers of my mum growing up. I remember that she would pray for me. I remember being in hospital and she'd be holding my hand, praying for healing in Jesus' name. There'd be times I'd come home from school and, you know, I'd be upset about something, and I vividly remember sitting on the couch with her many times, sharing with her things going on and her saying, "Come on, let's pray." And we'd pray together for the things going on in my life and in my heart. And I'm so grateful for that foundation that she built in me of prayer. And now Daniel and I are raising our 3 children. We want to now teach our children how to pray and how to have relationship with God and pass on that same thing that we learned from our parents. And you know, so from a very young age, we have prayed for our children. We pray for them every night. And you know, when they were really little, we used to get them together and we'd ask them what they want to pray for. And you know, it always started off with silly things like, "I want to pray for my Spider-Man toy." And you know, my second son, he loved to pray for the toilet. It was his, he thought it was just hilarious every single night. And so, you know, Daniel and I, we would pray for the toilet. We did that, sacrificing. We would pray for Spider-Man. And, you know, we would pray for these things. But as they're getting older now, it's so beautiful to watch the depth of these prayers and to see them now, you know, praying about real things and coming to God with their questions and their heart's desires and, you know, things that they're believing for from God. And we get to partner now in these beautiful prayers that they are praying with to God and seeing their faith come alive in God. It's such a joy and it's such a privilege. And it's not just something to take lightly. It is a calling from God to pass it down from generation to generation. Deuteronomy 6 verse 6 says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise." Teach the next generation. Be disciple makers, be parents, be spiritual parents. Mums and dads, teach your children in the ways of God. See it as the number one calling on your life to raise up this generation in God's ways from generation to generation. You know, I always find that the moment that they want to talk is that moment right before bedtime. And it's like you've parented all day and they've had hours to talk to you. And you're like clocking off for the night. You're like, yep, finally, 7:30, let's do this, bed. And it's right in that moment, for some reason, they want to sit and talk and ask questions and pray. And as a mom, I've had to learn not to rush through that moment, but be reminded by the Holy Spirit, this is my calling. This is my calling right now, to lay down my agenda of wanting to go and watch something on Netflix, and to sit and to teach the generation that God has entrusted me with the ways of God. Motherhood, parenthood, disciple making is a calling. Every prayer, every encouragement, every conversation about God is shaping them into being followers of Christ. The second thought I have for you is that motherhood is courageous and costly. It is not for the faint-hearted. It is big, it is sacrificial, and it is brave. In the Bible, parenthood, motherhood, and even discipleship in the scriptures include joy and sorrow, hope and waiting, courage under pressure, faithfulness when no one applauds. You know, as I was preparing this message for you today, and as I was waiting on God, I really felt to share a scripture today with you all, just like a breath from heaven for you. As Dan mentioned in our prayer moment before, you know, I know Mother's Day is so full of joy and beauty, but it can also represent a lot of sorrow and a lot of grief. And I felt this scripture for you today from Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There's a great story in 1 Samuel about a lady named Hannah. And she was desperate to have a child. And she couldn't have a baby. And she was sad year after year after year. It says that she became bitter in her soul. Said that she was downcast. She didn't eat. She actually had depression. She had a heaviness of depression on her life. And this went on for a few years until one day she went up to church and she poured out her soul to the Lord. And I want to let you know here today that not only is God our Redeemer, not only is He our Savior, not only is He peace and joy and love, He is the pain bearer. And it is so important that we don't hold onto our pain and it make us bitter in soul, but we cast it upon Him. We put our pain on the pain bearer and we let Him lift off any heaviness, any sorrow, any grief, any bitterness of soul, and let Him come and bring healing to you. And so that's what Hannah did. She went up to the temple of God. So she poured out her soul to the Lord. This was like not a pretty moment. This was messy. This was like probably snot everywhere. Maybe a few swear words going on, probably. She's just giving it to God. So much so that the priest thought she was drunk. So like that's what's going on here. She's just like, bleh. I think that's how drunk people respond. I'm not sure. Sorry, that was an awful sound. We rebuke that. And so she's having this moment on the altar with God. And two incredible miracles happen in this story. And there is the first one that gets celebrated a lot, and it should. It's an amazing miracle that a few days later, she conceives her child and she receives a miracle baby. And if you're here today and you're waiting for a miracle baby, we're standing with you. We are believing for you that you will see that miracle in your arms and you will raise them up in God's ways. But I think there's an even more beautiful miracle that happens in this story. And it's in 1 Samuel 1:18. It says, "Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." This was before she received her miracle baby. She poured out her soul to the Lord and God lifted depression off her life. God set her free from years of sorrow and bitterness and grief. And she ate and she walked away no longer sad. There are women here believing for miracle babies. Be strong and courageous. There are families believing for prodigal children to return. Be strong and courageous. There are single people believing to get married and be parents one day. Be strong and courageous. There are couples who have lost children who are now in heaven. Be strong, be courageous. Women who are mourning the loss of their own mothers, be strong and courageous. There are parents praying prayers and standing up for their children. Be strong and courageous. There are mums in the thick of newborn life with no sleep. Be strong, be courageous. There are parents of teenagers trying to navigate this new world they are growing up in. Keep going. Be strong and courageous. It is a commandment from God. Cast your pain upon the pain bearer and be strong and courageous. He's got you. He's got us. He's got our children. He's got us. Another part of this story that I love is that in the middle of this waiting season, so again, they hadn't received their miracle baby yet, her and her husband, Elkanah, do something beautiful in 1 Samuel 1:19. It says, they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. She poured out her soul to the Lord. God set her free from depression. And then her and her husband got up together and worshipped the Lord. Can I encourage you in that waiting season, worship God, praise Him. Set your spirit free. Let it fly and soar with the Holy Spirit. Husbands, can I talk to you for a moment? If your wives are downcast, if there is grief going in their heart, stand and worship with them. Encourage them. Speak life into them. Carry faith for your family. God has called us together. If you are single, come around a community of people that can stand with you, that can worship with you, that can encourage you. We are never supposed to do it alone. Stand and worship God. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not let fear come into your heart. Let faith rise. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Motherhood is a calling. Motherhood is big, courageous and costly. And finally, motherhood is bigger than biology. The biblical vision of motherhood includes biological, adoptive, and spiritual forms that the church shares responsibility. Motherhood in the kingdom includes women who nurture faith in young believers, leaders who labor until Christ is formed, older women mentoring younger, the whole church participating in formation. And I really want you, church, to grab a hold of this heart today. That the responsibility of raising up generations in God's ways is not solely on biological mothers and fathers. God has called the church to be spiritual mothers and fathers and to begin to raise up the generations that are behind us in the ways of God. Moses had a biological mother and an adopted mother. 1 Timothy 1:2 says, Paul called Timothy a son in the faith. Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. How beautiful is that picture? Paul becoming a spiritual father to the Corinthians. And church, I want us to grab this as a revelation in our heart that we need you. We need every generation. We need every generation playing their part to disciple the generation under them. We need to hear your stories of what God's done in your life. We need to hear those faith journeys that you've been through. We need to hear even the waiting period that you might still be in, but you're still showing up to church and you're worshiping and you're giving and you're connecting. We need every generation to connect with another generation. It is one of the most beautiful things about the body of Christ. Where else in the whole world do you get this many generations with the same cause in their hearts coming together? Nowhere. It is one of the biggest pictures that God wanted to paint, that we could be spiritual mothers and fathers to one another, and that we could raise and develop each other in Christ Jesus. One of the greatest joys that I have as a mother raising our kids in church is the people that are coming around them. And I'm very aware I have gaps as a parent. I am not perfect. And the Holy Spirit fills those gaps, but also people do as well. God's people. You know, I've seen this year, my son has two like incredible connect leaders and the boys down the front here. And it's such a joy for me to know that my son has these incredible role models that he is growing up with and that are pouring out into his life and just cool. You're just cool dudes, you know. I can't be that cool. Like, you know, they need role models in their lives, and I'm so grateful that you're shepherding these boys and teaching them God's ways. And, you know, our grandparents, they don't live local. Our parents live out of Sydney, and so, you know, we've adopted Nana Chris Cooper, and she's a nana to my beautiful daughter, and she looks after her on a Sunday, and she takes her to kids' church for me when I'm running around doing a million things, and she buys her treats, and she calls her on her birthday and takes her to the movies, and it's the most beautiful thing for me to know that even though, you know, we don't have parents that are local, there are spiritual grandparents and parents in this room for our children. You know, I can see Lauren McDonald up there as well. Like our boys are in a soccer team together. And even just at soccer the other day, you know, Lauren's speaking into my life and giving me encouragement as a parent. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that moment that I got with you. You know, she's a step ahead of me in parenting. And so just gleaning from her was such a gift. You know, I see Robin down here who like invests into our family so much. And we're just so grateful for you, Robin. And I could just go on and on and on looking at all the people in this room. But it is such a joy and a privilege to know that my children are growing up with spiritual mothers and fathers in this church that love them, that teach them, and that encourage them in God's ways. We all have this calling. Even myself, you know, even though I've grown up in a Christian home, I am very aware I would not be who I am today without being under the wings of great women in this church. Under Bernie Kelsey's and Chris Pringle's and Emma Packer, Leanne Mattesius, Julie McConaughey, you know, all these incredible women. I'm so grateful that I was able to learn and glean from these women, and I continue to this day. Parenthood. Motherhood, being a disciple maker, it is more than biology. It is a whole church responsibility. No one is exempt from this. It is something that I want us to catch the cross generations of loving each other and pouring into one another. We need you. We need every generation. Psalm 145, verse 4. The band, you guys can come. It says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. From one generation to another, declare his works and his mighty acts. Motherhood, parenthood, disciple making, it's a calling from God. It is courageous and costly, and it is more than biology. It is spiritual, and it is a calling from God for each and every person in this room. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.